Hi everyone, it's Shane.
Hi, it's Erin, and welcome to Everything EFL, part two of our Mobile Phones in the Classrooms series.
Telephoning me. Telephoning, okay.
Was that Lady Gaga? Was that what you were going for there? Bit of Gaga to start the...
No, it was... It was just me live, you know?
Oh, yeah, great. Okay.
Okay, so thank you so much for listening to us. We are by no means the experts in the subjects that we choose to talk about, but we do think that we know our stuff, and anything that we ever mention, credit will be given where possible to the sources of all of our information and knowledge.
That was our disclaimer.
Disclaimer. ELT Ireland. We are going to be speaking at the conference and we would love to hear from you, and we'd love you to come up and give us a big hug because we're really bricking it.
Please come.
I have bricked.
We're going to try and have a little activity at the beginning before we press record.
Who doesn't love an activity?
Oh, do you know what I mean? But it's not one of those like get into pairs things, you know.
No.
We're going to turn into complete EOT wankers.
It's... I'm just like, okay. Just insulted everyone else that we're going to be... Okay, so we're going to be in Griffith College. Now, the ELT Ireland conference takes place on Saturday and Sunday, the 22nd and 23rd of February. On Saturday, the 22nd at 4:30, boom!
Ooh.
That's where we're going to be.
Oh.
It's kind of like, I think if you imagine sort of like a podcast, ELT and Beyonce at the Super Bowl, that's sort of... Those three
we're going to have flashing lights and Shane's going to booty pop.
I am. I don't have a booty and I can't pop, but I mean, something will...
We'll figure something out.
Something's going to fly off.
There'll be tassels and things as well.
Like,
definitely.
I said I'm not doing an ELT podcast live unless there's tassels.
Mm, yeah.
That was one of my requirements.
One of your riders.
Yeah.
Okay, right. Moving on. Okay, so this one, I think the last episode, it was, we had like two or three kind of activities. This one is going to be a little bit more quick fire.
Snappy.
Yeah, a bit more snappy, but we'll try not to like race at 100 miles an hour. Okay, so I'm going to start with an activity, one of many from Nikki Hockley's fantastic book called Going Mobile. It's just a book full of activities you can use on the phone. That's all it is, but there's loads of really good stuff in there. Love a bit of Nikki Hockley.
Yep.
This one's really nice and simple. First 5 minutes, last 5 minutes. It's called Got It. So you get your students into groups of three or four and you say, get out your phones, go to your photo gallery and find, for example, a picture of a celebration. And the first person in that little group to find a picture shouts, got it. And everybody else puts their phone face down. Now, this is essential because if they don't do that, they keep scrolling. They're buggers like that. So they put their phones down and then the winner of Got It shows them their picture. They can ask questions about it. The person holding the phone can describe it. So it's just basically a good conversation kind of practice question.
So they're looking for pictures on their phone's memory of a celebration that they had.
Yeah, but then, and then it could be look for a pet, look for a family member, look for a nice scenery picture, literally anything you can think of. You could spend 20 minutes on it because let's face it, we all love talking about ourselves. Don't we, Shane?
I'm quite quiet.
Yeah, I never hear a whisper from you in the staff room.
No.
So that's a nice activity. What do you think of that?
I like it. A little bit kind of similar, actually, today, seriously, I did this. Modals of deduction.
Love a modal of deduction.
Love modals of deduction. Oh, it's so much fun. For teachers who don't know what it is, I'm going to really super briefly explain, because maybe there's some new teachers out there. So basically, everyone takes out their phone. They go on Instagram. They go on Facebook. They go on anything that they have. Or if they don't have social media because they're, you know, that person, hopefully they'll have a phone, a picture on their phone. Essentially, what they do is they have to bring up a picture of somebody on their phone. It can't be a famous person. It has to be someone they know. And then, you know, they get into pairs and you have to use modals of deduction to talk about it. For example, like, okay, it must be a family member because there's such a striking resemblance. It's my sister. Okay, she can't be older than you. She must be younger than you, judging from the picture. Okay, I think this could be one of your sisters. I think it can't be your mother.
Oh, you could make guesses about locations, like she must be at home because there's a dog on the floor or something like that.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it just... most textbooks, when you're covering modals of deduction, will have that anyway. However, it's just really good to see it in practical terms when it relates to something that you know.
Yeah.
And it's another trick of just getting the phone in there somehow.
That's it. And it makes it more personal, which is always best. If they can talk about themselves, show each other different things. And again, like if you have different cultures, I love this kind of thing where they're showing each other like different houses, different kinds of food, different kind of celebrations. It all just helps them gel and go, oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, very nice.
Keeping with Instagram, for slightly younger people who have Instagram, I think one of the, it's kind of vacuous, but I guess it's a fun activity, is who do you follow? What famous people are you following if you bring up your follow list? Or which person do you follow that has the most followers? So, you know, it could be like, I know particularly for a lot of Koreans, it's like, you know, huge K-pop artists like BTS or something.
They freak me out, man.
Do they?
Have you seen their faces? It's just not right. Have you not seen them?
What's wrong with their faces?
They're just all plastic surgery. It's just so scary. They all look like young teenage girls, and every K-pop artist looks like that. It's just frightening. It's like this weird beauty standard that just should not be allowed to exist. Have you not seen their faces?
I think they've got lots of plastic. Are you sure that you could get in so much trouble right now if they don't?
No, it's every single one of them has had plastic surgery. It's a thing.
It is the number one plastic surgery country in the world.
Yeah. Little diversion here. I listened to a podcast about K-pop, and it's very disturbing what they have to go through. And one of the things is a lot of weight loss and plastic surgery. It's horrendous.
Would you?
What?
Get plastic surgery.
Oh.
I would like to fix my nose.
A bit of Botox, I think.
We could add this to Parsnip episode. Yeah. Episode one, Parsnip, things that you should not bloody talk about in class. Would you get plastic surgery, student number one? No, really? I mean, really? 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 Nothing. You wouldn't fix anything. Jesus. Not even your eyes. I fear that. No, can you imagine? I would like to fix my nose, but I don't think I would because I'd be scared. Oh, it's very big.
It's not really.
And it's a sharp nose.
You're weirdo.
Yeah.
Anyway, oh, sorry about that. Should we, what were we talking about? Phones, was it? Phones?
No, phones? Feet? So yeah, Instagram, there's a couple of different things that you can do with it talking about. I mean, it's speaking activities, it's visual, it's personal. There's not a hell of a lot going on there in terms of vocabulary and grammar, but it can be good just for the last 5 or 10 minutes or to contextualize something about if you're doing anything about music or movies, pop culture, personality types, physical descriptions of people using images on Instagram can be a cool way to bring that into the lesson.
Yeah, and also if like I'm partnered with someone and they said this is my K-pop hero, I would have a million questions about that. So, you know, it's a good way to practice question forms as well.
Would all of your questions be highly judgmental in tone?
Oh, totally.
What
is this?
Oh, God.
Oh, good. Yes. Instagram. Okay. I think anything like that that the young kids are using would be good. Are you on Instagram?
No.
No. Do you think we should be on Instagram?
If you think we should be on Instagram, please give us money so we can buy. You don't have to pay for Instagram. I don't know.
No, just give us some money anyway.
Just give us some money.
It'll be very much appreciated.
Love money.
Oh, yes. Okay. So another idea is using the video. So what I've done shown an old 90s clip of Melissa Joan Hart on MTV Cribs. Do you remember Sabrina?
Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Yeah, so she's like walking through a house and it's got subtitles and you can take a few nice phrases.
Oh, Cribs.
Yeah, do you remember MTV Cribs where they go around the... Yeah.
Yes, yeah, I remember. For those of you who are super young teachers and don't remember...
MTV Cribs was big in the 90s and early 2000s, I would say. And it was basically just MTV going with the cameras into famous people's houses and just having a good old nose around. And this is my walk-in closet with my 1,000 pairs of shoes, and my huge bathroom and things like that. And it's really fascinating just to see how the other half live. So what you do is tell them that they're going to do an MTV Cribs of their house. You give them some phrases and stuff from it, like in here and over here is the bathroom and here's the dog. And as you can see, she's sleeping, things like that. And then you just give them a few days to film their own house or host family. And they have to go around the house. They can be in the video or not in the video.
Okay.
But some of them really get into it. Some of them are terrified and won't do it. some of them really get into it and do it really well. And some of them, one guy even, he's obviously much more savvy, tech savvy than I am, but he got like the introduction of MTV Cribs from YouTube, stuck it on the beginning of his video.
Oh, awesome.
Which was brilliant. Yeah. And another guy actually put subtitles on.
Okay.
Which is really good as well. But he did have one really hilarious misspelling. Yeah, it was, instead of saying hi guys, it was hi gays, and all the way through it's like, okay, gays, let's go through to the bathroom. Bless him. But he tried. So it's just so sweet. Yeah.
And you could
bye
make,
gays.
You could make one of those jokes that students wouldn't get, but you can, do you ever make jokes and just laugh at them yourself? Because no, the students don't laugh.
Sometimes. But I can see
Karen there, you're aiming that at a particular demographic and then just have a giggle and they will not know what you're saying.
Yeah, but it works well. And then if you have something like Edmodo or Seesaw, which is kind of like a Facebook book platform, but for classrooms,
yeah,
and they can post the videos up on there. If they don't feel comfortable doing that, they can message it to you. Another thing I did was something similar, and I took my own video of me delving around my fridge using countable and uncountable nouns.
Like, oh, very good.
So here's some cheese, and here are a few tomatoes, and here's some milk and things like that. And then they basically had to do the same thing.
Okay.
Just rootle around their cupboards commentating on what they could see using count and uncount quantifiers.
So in the classroom, really what you're doing is you're setting the scene for homework and maybe doing a listening, because you can show different videos.
Yeah, and introduce phrases if you like to help them, you know. But it's just something a bit creative, and they can really get into it, and you know, they can do as many takes as they like.
Mm.
They seem to enjoy it.
Okay.
Have you done something like that before?
No, but I will. I mean, I've never had them make videos and bring it in for homework, but I quite like that idea. So apps that I use, two apps I use, Quizlet.
Mm.
Is like Quiz and L-E-T-Let, Quizlet. It works better, for me personally, it works better on a computer, but you can use it on your phone. You can use this for anything, like your family members can use this. You can use this personally. It's just kind of quick quizzes, ways of remembering things. But one of the best ones is flashcards.
Okay.
It gives you a description of something, and then you tap the screen and it flips over and it tells you what it is. For my students, for pre-intermediate and intermediate phrasal verbs, it's really, really, really good for phrasal verbs.
Love a phrasal verb.
Love some phrasal verbs. There's other applications that you can use for it as well. Tenses, tense review. It describes when you use the tense and you hit it over. It's kind of something that the students would do personally. You can put them into groups or something, but once you kind of explain it or elicit it, it's something that you would do for like 5 or 10 minutes at the end of a lesson, and it can be just a really good way to review and refresh and use the phone. And then another one that I use, this is controversial. That's not really that controversial. I oversold it. Duolingo.
Okay.
Duolingo is, I think, probably the world's biggest app for learning different languages. I use it for French and Spanish, 5 minutes a day on the bus. But a really big thing for us is that students outside the classroom don't really do a lot, particularly adults. If you're teaching business English, okay, I've worked in Spain where you work in companies and you're teaching the students for an hour during the break, and that's the only hour that they do every week. And Duolingo is actually quite fun, and it has really good notifications. Like, it gives you awards if you tap on it every day. And you have like goals that you need to meet. It's kind of like,
what does it do though? Does it give you little quizzes or?
Yeah. Now the thing is, it's based in their native language.
Right.
So for example, you'll have the man eats cheese every day, and it'll be written in Spanish underneath it. And you have to match the activities. It's not the best thing in the world, but it's free and it allows students to continuously practice English outside the classroom. I often encourage students to use it, and we can do it for like 10 minutes in the class. It can be quite good to get up their daily goals. So you have listening activities, it listens and you have to write what you've heard. Matching activities, you have to match the words to the sentences, and it's even got a speaking application where you speak in and it checks your pronunciation.
Yeah.
You don't really need a teacher. That's what's kind of controversial about Duolingo. A teacher isn't really required, but to show students what it is, how to use it, and the benefits, and encourage them to use it. That's really important.
Yeah, especially the ones who are lazy, and they, I mean, you know, giving them a photocopy of something versus going, spend 10 minutes on your phone playing a little game. You know, I think a lot of students, that would appeal to a lot of students more.
Yeah. Definitely. I also, sorry, just to go back there, one thing I forgot, Quizlet, the first app I said, IELTS. Really, really, really cool for IELTS. Okay. As we know, like, we're going to do another module, I think, on IELTS.
We're going to do a bunch of episodes. Yeah. IELTS, yeah.
But synonyms are really important.
Yeah.
So Quizlet with flashcards and matching activities is really, really good for refreshing synonyms, because like phrasal verbs, you know, you can teach it and contextualize it, but unless they're practicing and using this language all the time, they're not going to remember it. Yeah. And that's a really good way.
Yeah. Cool. Yep. Like it. What else have we got? Yeah, this is an interesting one. Again, this is from Nikki Hockley, Going Mobile. There's a couple of activities about phone addiction. And one of them is...
super clear a phone to your hand.
Yeah. One of them is basically a series of questions to figure out whether they're addicted or not. And if they get like more than six yeses to these questions, for example, do you check your messages as soon as you get them? My mind's gone blank. I can't think of any more questions. But
how many hours do you use your phone every day? What's the longest period you can go without it?
Stuff like that. Kind of yes, no questions. And if they answer more than, for example, six yeses, then they're addicted. So I do that in the way that I get them all to stand up, and one side of the classroom is yes, one side of the classroom is no, and I read out the statements and they go to either side of the class, have a little chat, and then I give them a homework mission. I say to them, okay, go home and don't pick up your mobile until the class starts the next day. And I know, and of course they fail. I mean, I couldn't do it. But what I get the high level students to do is to write about it.
Yeah.
Just to see, like, even if they fail, I say, just write like half a page about how you fail. Was there any benefit to this activity and stuff like that? And one Japanese girl wrote this really nice paragraph about the next morning she got on the bus and she'd never really noticed the scenery before and the trees and the green in Dublin before. And she had a really nice bus. And I was like, oh, that's so nice.
Yeah. Do you think that was true? Or was she like, this will get me extra points? This is total bullshit.
No, I don't think so. No, it's very sweet. But then in the same class, another guy said that it was a completely pointless experiment, you know, but fair enough.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. Whatever. But no, it's just something a bit different. And again, it's not actually specifically using your phone, but it's just getting students to think about not using their phone and just to look around and see what else there is in the world. You know, it's not all about having the phone super glued to your hand.
Okay. Mm. I love super glue.
Do you sniff it?
No. No.
Anything else?
So I have so I've got Quizlet and Duolingo. Yeah, one thing I quite like to do is, do you know the way that you mentioned asking questions? That activity of moving from one side of the room to the other,
yeah,
like yes or no, we are going to cover that activity again in another thing, another podcast about movement. But I like to get students to make surveys on Google Docs.
Well, they create the surveys themselves?
They can create the survey themselves. They can type it up on Google Docs. Most people have Gmail. If you don't, you can download the app. You're practicing typing skills. Mm. It auto-corrects it for you anyway. Very good as an icebreaker. Ask some questions. Collate your information together.
Yeah, yeah.
So basically making surveys on Google Docs and then going around the room with your phone and asking different questions. Okay, you guys have to do one about as if you are hiring somebody. What kind of questions do you think you should ask? You guys are going to do one as if you're an English teacher. What kind of questions would you ask your students? You're going to do questions as if you are in a transport authority. This works for pre-intermediate all the way to advanced. You just basically make the higher the level, you make the situation more obscure or specific.
Mm. And you could actually practice, you know, the IELTS writing task one with comparative bar charts and stuff.
Yeah.
You could do a survey and then get the results on the board.
Yeah.
And then they could do a 20-minute writing task based on the results on the survey.
Yeah.
Boom!
Yeah, you could. Yeah.
Just made your IELTS lesson more interesting.
Yeah, then hand it to your partner to correct it. That's about an hour because you're also practicing writing the questions as well,
which
isn't IELTS required, but you're still doing some writing.
Yeah. That's really nice. I think we've got time just for one more.
Go,
Maybe we'll do another episode at a later date because we've still got tons of ideas. Photo treasure hunt.
Oh, yeah.
So you could prepare a sheet of tasks or things that students have to run around the school grounds and photograph. They could also, for example, you could say, you know, photograph the playground and then film someone sliding down the slide, photograph something yellow, you know, whatever is around. They could also create their own treasure hunts for other groups, or they could make little videos. There's loads of stuff you can do.
I think one of the things I love doing with a photo hunt is, again, this may not be directly relevant to you, the listener. It depends what type of a school that you work in. But I bring them to quite large gardens, like public park.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, you need to take a picture with someone that works here. And you need to find out what their name is and how long they've worked here. And then you say, okay, I need you to get a couple that have live abroad but are visiting Ireland. What's their opinion of the park? You need to take a picture of a bench. Yeah, you need to take a picture of a lake. So they're getting physical objects, but they're also speaking to people, asking questions, noting information. Great crack.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Well, I think that is probably enough for this week.
Do you know what? I don't know where my phone is. Seriously.
Oh, how ironic.
No, okay. Seriously, I don't know where it is.
We'll figure it out.
God.
It's got to be in the immediate vicinity, isn't it?
Can you
anyway, enough of Shane's personal problems.
Okay, so listen, thank you so much for listening to our second part of our phones. If we missed anything, or if you want to give us some tips, or if there's something more that you'd like us to cover, then get in touch with us, Jennifer. Our Facebook is Everything EFL.
Yep, so when we post this link, if you have any ideas, start a thread, start a chat. We're also on,
if you start a thread together, we can sew our way in.
Can I finish? Is that all right? Thank you.
If you start.
Twitter, everything_EFL. We also post, the links on there. And, if you want to email us, it's showandtelleverythingEFL@gmail.com. And I think that's it. Oh, we are also available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Player FM, Google Podcasts,
Anchor,
possibly other things.
We don't know about. And Erin's personal phone number is, no, I'm only messing. I wouldn't do that again.
Remember last time?
You got very angry at me.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.